Guess what day it is?
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Yes, I'm going.
610 having flag day. Who's got their flags up?
I will. My flag pole broke.
I feel like I had to
tighten it.
I feel like it's
sort of a dirty joke or something.
Every day. I got to switch my W flag for the American flag now.
Why don't you guys wait until, next flag day?
It's also my anniversary today.
Well, do you have a flag for that?
No.
Happy 32nd.
Like surrender?
Yeah, that would be a good one.
No, the checkered flag.
I'll wave the white line. Yeah, the white flag. I'll
surrender.
I keep my flag up from Memorial Day to the 4th of July.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, might as well.
But you take it down at night because it's flag etiquette. Or put a light on it.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
You're not putting it up today because it's the president's birthday?
The president's calling in today.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah. Wait. Wow. Which president?
President Trump.
Oh, okay.
It's his birthday?
Yeah. Very good. Wow. He's actually going to appear on the show?
He's going to be 71.
He's pretty much told everybody who would listen.
Yeah. Well, we made up.
By the way, there's a plan.
Well, it's all good now. President Trump and I.
Speaking of the president's birthday, there's a birthday bash planned for Trump Tower this afternoon. Supporters are calling it a birthday bash, and opponents are calling it a birthday bash as well.
You know, people who make a huge deal out
of their birthday.
No, that's true. I never understood people who make a huge deal out of their birthday. I think it's ridiculous.
Okay.
I never do it.
No, of course not.
Are we caught up on birthdays on this show? Don't we still owe somebody one? Are we good?
Dave had one.
We are caught up.
We're caught
up.
But
we are expecting another real soon.
I never got a cake for my birthday last November, by the way.
But you ate enough cake of other people's.
You weren't here.
Yeah.
You abandoned
us. You ate all the cake of other people.
Did Dave, by the way, for his birthday, did someone who...
By the way, this is Steve Cochran Show. Welcome.
Right. Did he get the Hooters card, gift card?
No, I don't know.
We don't know where it is.
To that? Does Kevin have it?
I thought you had it last.
I actually used it.
Oh, you did
Mary
not.
Had Mary Vanderbilt had
no,
it.
No, I gave it to somebody. I thought I gave it to Ducat. Wait, who has it? Whose birthday was after January?
I actually bought Steve a new Hooters card this year.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh. It wasn't even the same.
Well, where's that
hand
one?
Me down.
Oh, I gotta find it.
He and John used it apparently.
I have not been to Hooters since I worked there.
What?
Right.
You worked there?
Yeah, I was a waitress.
Oh yeah.
That's how we met. I was Helen.
Uh-huh.
Let me tell you something. I thought an A cup was enough. Not so much.
Those orange shorts looked really good.
Yeah, it was a hot look for me. Hi, it's Steve. Welcome to the program. It's Flag Day. If you were hoping to get some information out of the Attorney General yesterday. Yeah, not so much. And none of it was about America, and everything was about covering their... what's the word I'm looking for? Asses.
Behinds, maybe?
On a program today, Jordan Goodman will talk about money. You guys love this when this happens, so be prepared to take notes, digital or otherwise, after 7 o'clock when Jordan Goodman talks about money. Jordan doesn't come into town that often. Usually he's on the phone. He's on the phone again today. But the last time he was in town, John DeCosson, he struck up a friendship. So
very close. Yeah. So now you're rich.
I've got over 2,000 photographs.
Of Jordan.
Yeah.
It's weird, but
odd positions.
He's a great guy. He's a phenomenal guy.
Dean Richards after 8, of course. We'll do our U.S. Open picks later. The great Emil Esposito on. I got another Father's Day golf idea for you.
Yes.
Love
Emil. So Emil will be on today, and we'll do our U.S. Open picks today. Mary, I'm trying to give you enough warning here. At 9:40, so you've got 3 hours and 30 minutes or so.
Do we still have the Justin Dustin... Jason,
Dustin
blah,
Johnson.
Blah, group.
Dustin involved. Johnson's kind of a favorite.
They're all
Justin,
in it, right?
Dustin and Jason are all in it.
Okay,
yeah,
okay,
yeah,
thanks.
Yeah. And other hot names from the 80s, or would that be the 90s?
Mary, just pick Phil. You'll be fine.
Phil's not playing.
Well...
I thought they don't know if he's playing.
Is
that changed?
Okay, it depends on the weather. He is hoping, how about this? He's hoping for a rain delay. He's got his plane ready. He's attending his daughter's graduation.
Okay, here's what's ridiculous
about that.
That's
rude. That's rude for the stand-in.
Well, exactly. There's an alternate that's standing by to wait to get in.
Right.
Obviously, if Phil can play, it'd be great to have him play. But at some point, you're selfishly holding on to a spot.
Right.
So how long does he have to bail? I mean, pretty much till his tee time, right?
His tee time is 2:20 in the afternoon.
On Thursday, but that means he's got to play a morning round on Friday.
Yeah.
So he's got until two. So there's an alternate that's going to be waiting.
Roberto Diaz would be the alternate.
Yeah.
But he says he's not expecting him to withdraw.
Who, Roberto?
Yeah, Roberto says he's not expecting Phil to withdraw.
No, because he's going to wait and see. But there's only apparently now a 10% chance of rain tomorrow. So the chance that there's going to be, he would need a 4-hour rain delay is what they figure.
It's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't see that happening.
That's grasping at straws.
Yeah.
Look, I like Phil.
Oh, I do too.
It would be nice to see him in a tournament. It'd be nice to see him win one.
Yeah.
Because he's the only one he hasn't won.
Well, don't you think that's why he's trying to do this? Because if there's any way he can, how many chances is he going to have?
Well, one a year.
Well, I understand that, Steve. Okay. All right. This is going to be one of those days.
Yeah, but how many times is his daughter going to graduate?
Well, you know, and the thing is, Nicholas made this point at the memorial. Write a fat check. Every school needs money. Write a fat check for the school and move the graduation.
There you go.
I'll give you a perfect example, and it involves golf. Okay. Ross is in the fifth grade play.
No. Is this a happy ending?
Yeah.
Okay.
Fifth grade Christmas play. And I was invited to play in a really cool tournament in Palm Springs, mm-hmm. California. And I really wanted to play in the tournament. But I didn't miss my kid stuff.
What was it? What was the milestone?
He was Santa Claus in a Christmas play.
Okay.
Yeah, in fifth grade. And Dave and I come from a generation of parents, Mary, you as well, where we're overly indulgent with our kids as opposed to my dad who didn't know I did anything.
Definitely.
Yeah. I had to decide. And I decided I'd go to the golf tournament. But to appease my own guilt, I hired a videographer. Now, Ross is fifth grade, which would have been, 2000, I guess?
Yeah,
2000.
So
I hired a videographer to shoot the Christmas play and to make copies. This is still videos. Make copies of videos for all the parents.
Oh.
So I'd be the swell guy that took care of everything, and then I wouldn't feel so badly because I'd have a video of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. And it worked out okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I still get a little grief about it. But
you know what, though?
Funny.
Can I just say in your defense? I don't have kids, obviously. I wouldn't go to I'd go to the golf tournament instead. But it's not like it was a graduation or a birthday. I mean, it's a play.
Again, at that point, you do the parents thing. It's like, okay, you can go, but I can't.
Right.
So,
alternate.
Yeah.
Where's
yeah.
your copy of that video?
How'd it turn out?
Hey,
time for
hey,
the top
hey.
Six at six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60-Minute Man.
For 69 years, Donald Trump had a small circle of people he frightened. Now, for the last two, it's been the rest of the world. Donald Trump celebrates his birthday today. Happy birthday, Mr. President. He is 71 years old, and he will celebrate as only he can by tweeting us into submission. And what is he doing? He's got a party in New York?
Yeah, party in New York.
That he's attending?
I believe he is attending it.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't, you know, with Donald Trump, he might not. Who knows? It could be canceled.
I didn't know what to get him, so I got him. I went to the As Seen on TV aisle at Walgreens. And I got him that thing that cleans your earwax. I don't even know if he has any.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But it's that vacuum thing they sell on TV.
So you don't have to stick the Q-tip in and go,
yeah.
Ow!
Yeah, I mean, for the safety of the president. Happy birthday, Mr. President. Yesterday was another annoying example of why both parties are a complete embarrassment and why we're in very serious trouble in this country. Congress got together through a little Senate investigation hearing, and Jeff Sessions, the attorney general, agreed to testify. He invented a rule that doesn't exist. It's sort of an adaptive form of executive privilege. So when he was asked about conversations he had with the president, he said, and I'm quoting now, I can't answer that because Goober at the filling station says I can't. All right, he didn't say Goober. He said, I can't answer that because the president may want to use executive privilege. You can't use executive privilege if you're not the president. And as the guy that had the conversation with the president, you're under oath to answer questions. Congress then took very serious action. They went, oh, okay.
Okay, right.
And then they moved on to another question.
It was like almost an alternative explanation. You know,
it's complete,
alternative facts.
It's complete crap.
It completely is.
It's complete crap. It's the word of the day yesterday was stonewalling. It's BS. Yeah. It's nonsense.
Didn't you crave a nice glass of sweet tea, though, after the whole thing was over?
Mm. Yeah, sitting out on the porch. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He sounds like Forrest Gump. He really did.
He looks like Barney Fife. Yeah. But that's not the biggest problem. He could sound like Forrest Gump and look like Barney Fife if he wasn't either lying or dodging the questions. And what's more aggravating, I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican, you both suck. And to see the Attorney General of the United States, the guy who is the number one lawman in America, not answer questions under oath. Anybody see a problem with that?
It's a huge problem. He looked after.
But he's an attorney.
I got annoyed after 10 minutes
of it. He's going to go into court and a criminal's going to go, oh, you want to know about the bank robbery? Well, when we were planning the bank robbery, I had a private conversation about it with Louie.
Right.
I can't talk to you about that.
Remember, this is the attorney.
It's bank robbery privilege.
This is the top attorney in the United States of America representing the people, representing you and me. And
no,
everybody.
Representing Jeff Sessions. Next up, people close to Donald Trump say he's entertaining the idea of Robert Mueller to be fired still, even though Sarah Jessica Parker Huckabee Sanders, whatever her name is,
Sarah Huckabee,
came out yesterday and said, no, the president is not considering it. Sources close to the president, and by the way, do you want to be one of those people, said that's not off the table yet, as of this morning. Last month, Mr. Trump praised a House attempt to repeal the Affordable Care Act as a great plan. Remember he threw that party?
Yes.
It was a House bill that passed. It's not even close to being voted on in the Senate. And he threw a party, delayed a trip to go to New York for a dinner, I believe, and threw a party, an impromptu pizza and beer party to celebrate it. So that is a great plan. Somebody asked me what he called it yesterday.
Steve, what did he call it yesterday?
He says it's a mean bill. He says mean.
It's what?
Mean. Said it needs more funding. It needs more things here and there. It's mean.
Oh, I wonder how his whiplash is.
So they celebrated a bill that was mean.
Celebrated it, said it was a great plan. These are his words, not mine. It's a great plan, great bill, great success.
It's a mean bill, Mr. Trump.
That's right. The average Chicago property tax bill is going up another 10% this year following City Hall and Chicago Public School tax hikes to pay for police, fire, and teacher pensions.
Don't even start me.
According to calculations released yesterday by the Cook County Clerk's Office, we had Tom Sharon, spokesperson for the Cook County Assessor's Office. He will come back. He passionately defended the Cook County Assessor and the office's way of determining what you owe or don't owe. And the appeals process as well. But we barely scratched the surface in the time we had. So we will have Tom share back.
The only thing I can say about this is that Tony Preckwinkle said a month and a half ago that this is going to happen.
That what's going to happen?
That the property taxes are going, they're going to be increased.
Yeah, well, here's what you can do.
So she's following through on a promise.
Here's what you can do if you live in the city or live in Cook County.
You can move.
That's one option. Or you can go, well, that's what people do and I can't do anything about it and just bitch. Or you can actually decide who is making your life too expensive and more miserable and vote them out.
That's right. Got to vote.
Get involved. And finally, today, in the greatest country on earth that you are still privileged to be in, regardless of whatever turmoil and trauma we're in, and remember, 65% of this country thinks we're in trouble every single day. It's still the greatest country in the world, and I hope you celebrate Flag Day. Flag Day used to be a big deal. Dave, you remember the 70s when dinosaurs roamed the earth?
Yes, I do.
John, you remember the 70s when dinosaurs roamed the earth?
No, I'm 18.
No, that's not true. Flag Day was a big deal when we were in school.
It was.
Flag Day. Well, the teachers all celebrated it. We had to write Flag Day essays. Mm-hmm. There was a civics lesson about it.
And
I get the impression it's not so big a deal anymore, and it should be, because it's another opportunity to fly the flag and be proud of America.
Most of our parents or uncles, aunts too as well, served, so it was near and dear.
So happy Flag Day. Fly your flag. And so far, I'm the only one on the show that has their flag up, so the rest of you, get your flags up unless you're some sort. I'll hold a congressional hearing tomorrow to find out who has their flag
up. I have a little mini flag that's in my planter out on my porch.
And you know, there's nothing more beautiful than the American flag in a summer yard, right? I mean, with all the flowers around it.
The coolest thing is going down a street, and it's flag after flag after flag.
Oh, yeah, that's our block.
That's what's cool.
Where I grew up, because my dad and then our next-door neighbor, he went to Afghanistan.
Well, you have to get more than the flag in your potted plant.
I know, but I can't have, you know, I live in a condo building. I can't fly a flag off the balcony. So I have to have a little, you can't have anything hanging, even plants.
That's wrong.
Can't have anything.
Hold on a second. You can't put an American flag out?
No, you can't. You can do a small, so I have a small one that's in the planter. It's a huge planter.
What's that huge flag in Tinley Park? Is it a car dealership?
Oh, right off 80?
A giant flag that flies off of 80.
Yeah.
Is that a car dealership?
I think it is a car dealership. It's beautiful, isn't
it? I'm going to get you that flag and have you hang it from your balcony.
I'll add another little one to my planter. Why? I keep it up all year round.
Steve, you can't fly a flag?
Nope. It's against condo rules.
What's the root? Why?
Well,
because
just can't,
you can't. Do you want, you know, the person who lives right above you, you know, having their flag hit your...
Yeah.
Well, I know you do, but...
Well, it's the flag.
Because then what if somebody wanted to fly a different flag that's not the United States flag?
It's the United States. You're okay to do that.
What if somebody wants to fly...
Like a pirate flag.
You can't...
Oh, for Pete's
No, he's right. He's absolutely...
Pirate flag.
Or the Confederate flag or some flag that might, you
can
know...
You just have flags hanging over everything.
Offend somebody.
You know what? Both of you should move. Why don't you both get a condo over ISIS?
Come on.
Hey, I have the mini one.
Right.
So
your
does
potted
Steve.
Plant.
Hey, a flag's a flag.
Yeah, okay. Get a better one. Matter of fact, here. This is from the fine people at Art Van Furniture. Red, white, and beautiful. There's an American flag.
Can I hang it in my house?
Hang it somewhere.
I'll hang it on my door. How's that?
Hang it somewhere where people can see it.
Okay. Put it in the newsroom.
Oh, this is great. Thank you.
American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling bring you the top six at six. The 60-Minute Men. And the sixth caller also gets one of these American Weathermakers weather centers. It's like Tom Skilling digitally. Mm-hmm. Not endorsed by Tom Skilling. 6:30, and we're back with the big story next.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
Dave Bennett just pointed out to me, if you go to Donald Trump's Twitter feed today, balloons rise from the bottom to the top.
Yes.
So does he put that there, or does Twitter put that there?
That's a good question.
I don't know. Twitter didn't put balloons on my Twitter feed for my birthday.
Well, you're not the president.
That's a good question. I don't know. I think it's adorable. As I do all things Trump. Karen Conti standing by. What's your law firm's name, Karen?
It's Conti Law.
And where might we find you?
You may call me at 312-332-7800 or kconti at kcontilaw.com.
Now, as a defense attorney through the years, you've represented a lot of dirtballs, including me. A lot of people who were just testing the limits of everyone deserves a fair trial. But in any of those cases, how would this defense have worked if you defended your client by saying, we don't want to talk about that. We're citing criminal executive privilege. I watched Jeff Sessions yesterday and went, you're making up stuff that doesn't exist.
Well, you know, it's interesting. He's claiming that Donald Trump is the only one who can assert that privilege, and it's not the case. If you look at the law of executive privilege, there's really not much on it because it doesn't get invoked very often. I think the most popular, important case was the Nixon case where he lost that issue. But anyone on the executive branch can assert the executive privilege, and it's not really well defined, but it basically is, if you're talking about things that would affect national security, basically those things are confidential and they should be confidential, but they have to be of a nature that it might affect something outside the issues that are being investigated. And clearly there might be some things that Sessions is talking to about Trump with Trump that might be the subject.
Might
of that,
be. But a lot might be. Might be is a key. And what you're talking about, and this is perfect for you to explain to us as a lawyer, What you're talking about is what makes people crazy about politics. And again, Democrats do the same thing. This law was not designed for people to cover their ass. It was designed to protect privileged conversations for what you're talking about, things that would be a danger to America.
And there are ways to do it. Here's what he should have done. If he was going to invoke it, he should have said to them beforehand, well beforehand, as to the following topics, I am not going to talk because I'm invoking the executive privilege. And even Donald Trump himself could have said that. As to the conversations I had with Sessions, I am invoking my right to executive privilege. And then we wouldn't be sitting there screaming and yelling back and forth.
And the fact is, Trump and company said they're not invoking executive privilege. Before Sessions went in to testify yesterday, they specifically said, we are not invoking executive privilege. And then Jeff Sessions, the top lawman in the land, looked into the camera and looked into the eyes of the people that were questioning him and said, in case the president wants to down the road, I can't talk about that. You can't do that.
No, and the other option that might actually happen is there might be closed sessions, not to pardon the pun, but they might go into closed sessions and say, listen, if you think this is going to affect national security, then we're going to go outside the public realm and we're going to ask you these questions and you're going to answer them. You know, the issue of why was Comey fired? I mean, that does not seem to me to be an issue of national security. That's an issue of, was he a crazy nut job? Did you try to stop the Russian investigation? Or did you just not like the way he handled Hillary Clinton's emails? I mean, which one was it?
Right.
That to me doesn't go to, national security whatsoever.
Karen, if someone pleads the fifth, or say President Trump gets up there, or someone invokes executive privilege, apparently Jeff Sessions, and there's found to be something illegal, can either be charged. I know he's a sitting president, but if Sessions decides to keep pleading the fifth or not be forthcoming with information, could there be something criminal about that?
Yes, and probably the next step before charging him criminally, which I don't think is going to happen, but technically, there probably would be some court action. So there would be some motion of some lawsuit brought to compel the testimony. And if he didn't do it, he could be sanctioned. And I suppose he could be prosecuted also for obstruction of justice for not complying with valid subpoenas and the like. Again, I don't know if we're going to get that far, because it seems to me that what we want is the truth here. We don't want to put people in jail. We just want to know what happened. And so does the country, I think. So,
65. Yeah. Look, these are the numbers. These aren't made up numbers. 65% of America thinks that this president is doing a bad job. 65%. That's the majority by far. And all of us, including a large chunk of the 35% that still support President Trump, also say we want to get to the bottom of this because we'd like to know why Russia interfered with our election, and we believe that we did. It's a very, very small percentage of Fox News anchors and right-wing nut jobs in Congress who are still sticking to the side of this is all made up. To get to the bottom of this and to get the answer as quickly as possible is great. Not celebrate another day of getting nothing done, which is what Republicans did last night. And by the way, the Democrats better not be doing a touchdown dance, because they pulled the same embarrassing crap for years. They just happen to be on the other side on this.
Well, the law works fairly well if people are motivated by the search for the truth, right? But the problem here, of course, you have this overlay of politics. So, the Republicans, are obviously, they don't want their president to go down. They want people to look good. They don't want the Republican Party to look bad. But again, like you said, getting to the bottom of this is more important than what political party looks good. And that's what's complicating this whole matter.
I would like to see anyone step up and be a hero. Since the president refuses to do it, I'd like to see anyone step up and say, we want to get to the bottom of this for what's right for America. Because if you look at the transcript of that debacle yesterday, you will see nothing about what's right for America outside of a little blowhard opening statement from the attorney general. The entire rest of the session was about pontificating senators and Jeff Sessions covering his ass. That was the whole day.
Yeah. It doesn't speak well of all of us. And, I don't know where this is going. And I don't know if we're ever going to get to the bottom of all of this. But I what I really would like to know is if they're going to call Donald Trump, because that would be interesting.
Well, I wish people would just project this forward a little bit. You want it all to go away? Okay. Then Putin's going to continue to mess with elections. And what happens next time? And what happens the time after that? Maybe we just get him a, you know, maybe a nice suite, three-bedroom suite in Trump's hotel. That way he's closer to the White House and closer to the seat of power, because he obviously wants to disrupt this government. He's done a good job of doing it so far. Maybe America ought to be a little concerned about that.
Don't think that already hasn't happened. He might even have a room or rooms or a floor.
I hope he charged them more than rack rate.
You know, interfering with the American election is obviously a problematic, but he could be interfering with things that are even more important. So, yeah.
It's just outrageous. It's outrageous, yeah. And I would like someone else to join me in the angry side of the equation of this as it goes on day after day. Bill Cosby news and news about the Chicago Police Department. We'll get to that after traffic. Here's Mary. Before I go back to Karen Conti, some breaking news. Is that New York Congressman?
Yeah. Sorry about that. Yes, Congressman Steve Scalise. Apparently there was, this according to Matt Murphy, and Fox News also reporting, too, that there was a shooter attack at a GOP practice range. Not sure if it was an accident or this was an intentional shooting. And then others are reporting that there was a basketball practice area as well. So we can confirm that.
So we don't know if it was like a stray bullet or
right,
if
right.
It was somebody on the range that had an accident or something?
An accident, yeah. So we're checking into that. But he's the Republican whip. That's Steve Scalise. Shot.
That's the equivalent of the Durbin position in
right.
the Senate.
And is reportedly okay.
Okay.
So we'll keep you updated on that. It was a congressional basketball practice that they were at, and the shots came from a rifle range that was nearby. So we will keep you updated on this for sure.
Back to Karen Conti. Karen Conti on Sunday nights is on with The Noonan. And now that it's summertime, I assume it's every Sunday night.
Yes, we're doing it every Sunday night. It's a lot of fun.
All right. 8 o'clock, right?
That's right. 8 tonight.
Okay. So you can get all your legal questions answered there as well. Let's talk about Bill Cosby. What's the state of the trial? Where are we at?
They've been out for 2 days. They've deliberated for 16 hours. You never know what that means. You know, a short verdict, sometimes people think that's going to be a guilty verdict. But the three things that I think I take away from the fact that they've been deliberating so pretty hard, I mean, they've been starting early and going late, is that they're asking questions. I think they're probably doing a thorough job. I think they probably have some disagreement. It seems to me that the questions they're asking and what they're looking at are maybe inconsistencies in the statements of the victim over the years. And so I think, you know, if I were a betting person, I would say that there's a dividing line right now in that jury, that some people adamantly believe he didn't, and some people adamantly believe that she's making it up or that she consented, and that we're going to have some more deliberation today.
This is a criminal prosecution, not civil, correct?
Yes, this is a criminal case.
So you need a unanimous verdict?
They need a unanimous verdict, yes.
Okay. So that goes on. Meanwhile, the Laquan McDonald cops are back at work. What's the state of that, and also the state of the Justice Department's investigation of the CPD and their requirements or their recommendations being put into play?
Well, the four officers, there were four officers suspended other than the one who was the shooter, and he is, of course, being charged with first-degree murder. The four officers did some bad things. They basically made some statements that said that were false, based just solely on looking at the film of this. And so they were taken off the force, and they are now put back on the force. The idea is that you really can't remove police officers unless we have some sort of hearing. And we can't have a hearing because that might impact the case of the Van Dyke officer. So even though this sounds terrible and, you know, these people should be off the street and blah, 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 they do have process. So they're not back on the street. They don't have guns, but they're at desk jobs. And until the Van Dyke case goes to a full criminal trial, these people will not be given their hearing. But bottom line is they're probably going to be taken off the force anyway.
Right, and if they're doing paperwork and doing desk job stuff, that's probably a good use of taxpayer dollars until they have their day in court.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
All right. Well, nice job by you. Anything else you want to cover?
Nothing else except you did ask about the Justice Department investigation.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That
yeah.
was done, and they had some really strong recommendations about better training and all these other things, and now it's up to Rahm Emanuel as to whether or not he's going to agree to federal oversight, and we're still waiting for that decision to be made.
All right. It's Karen Conti. Phone number?
312-332 7800 or Kay Conti at kayconti.law.com.
Thanks for being on, as always. Coming up, some Flag Day notes on this Flag Day, June 14th. Jordan Goodman on your money. All that coming up next hour. News next. At 7-Eleven, Dave, I have some Flag Day statistics and facts for you.
Okay.
As I encourage you all to fly your flag on Flag Day, a day that doesn't get celebrated to the extent of 4th of July.
No.
Or Memorial Day, right, or Veterans Day, or things, right, of that nature, but or Labor Day even. Mm-hmm. But Flag Day. June 14th, 1777, Congress adopts the Stars and Stripes on the American flag. 1885, first flag observance when a 19-year-old school teacher named Bernard J. Segron put a 38-inch star flag in a bottle on his desk and assigned a class essay about it. And the kids went, oh, Hallmark, dude, I got logs to chop.
That's a card.
August 3rd, 1949, President Harry Truman signs an act of Congress designating every June 14th National Flag Day.
Oh, so that's where it's
when you were growing up, was Flag Day a big deal?
It, you know what we would do? We would say the Pledge of Allegiance every single day, and Flag Day was recognized. We talked about it a little bit, but then, you know.
It was a big deal when we grew up.
It wasn't as big
of a deal.
We
stopped down and talked about it.
Did you say the Pledge of Allegiance every day?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we did too.
Yeah, we did it every hour.
But we usually weren't in school.
We were more patriotic. In New York, we were. In New York, where I grew up. Yeah, New York schools.
We never had Flag Day as a holiday in here in Illinois.
Well, it was summer. So, yeah.
Well, some schools are still in, yeah.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like a national, I mean, a school.
Do you know what the colors on the flag mean?
Yes.
What does red mean?
Red is red.
Symbolizes hardiness and valor.
There you go.
White symbolizes purity and innocence. And blue represents vigilance, perseverance, and justice. Do you know how to clean your flag?
This is where I always get mad.
Yeah.
If an American flag is dirty or soiled, it may be washed or dry cleaned. If an American flag touches the ground, it can be washed or does not have to be destroyed. Now, when it does have to be destroyed, you're to burn it.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, we knew that.
Like,
yeah,
the flag that you were talking about by I-80, there were some tears in it at, mm-hmm, one point, so they did have to burn that, and then they have a new one. But yeah, the flag is not supposed to be sheared or torn.
Somebody text us what that dealership or business is.
Yeah.
So we can give them credit for it, because I can think of, I can see it, obviously, in my head, but I can't think of what the business is. Betsy Ross made the first American flag. But that's the rumor. That may actually be a myth. There's no letters, newspaper stories, or any other specific evidence that she had any role in making the first flag. It was her relative who told the Historical Society of Pennsylvania that George Washington asked her to design it. But you know who that was? That was Cousin Bertha, who made up stories all the time.
No. Yeah.
But that's a myth.
Come on. Yeah.
I read it in Huffington Post.
Well, you did?
Yes.
The original Huffington Post?
The original Post.
All right. In fact, old versions of the flags never became obsolete and could be flown regardless of the number or arrangement of the stars. So let's say you've got a Betsy Ross's original flag. Mm-hmm. You could still fly it. The U.S. flag code constitutes the flag in such condition that it can no longer be a fitting emblem for display. Should be, as we said, destroyed by burning. When American flag is torn, worn, or faded beyond repair, you can retire it respectfully and then destroy it in a dignified manner in a ceremonial fashion.
Okay, what, just saying,
mm-hmm,
what if it's got like a little bit of a tear in it from, say, maybe the wind?
I think you know when it needs to be replaced.
Okay.
I think you have a sense of when you're risking ridicule by others and possibly exposure for the commie that you are.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
I have information about the I-80 flag, too, when you're done.
Okay.
And
check with your local fire department, by the way, if you're not sure of the proper way to burn your flag. You know, do it safely and all that. Don't let the flag touch the ground. Don't fly the flag upside down unless there's an emergency. Like, say you're on a boat and your engine dies in the middle of Lake Michigan. You know, you put your flag upside down, shows that you're in distress.
That's a distress signal?
That's, yeah, the distress, mm-hmm, signal. That's what always bothers me. I love House of Cards. But it bothers me that when they show the name on the opening, House of Cards, the flag is upside down. I know it's a TV show, but that bugs me.
Let's go back to the part where it's a TV show.
I know. You mean, is that real?
Don't use the flag as clothing.
Yeah, that bothers me too, especially with shorts.
Don't carry the flag flat. Did you know that was bad flag etiquette?
Unless it's packaged.
Yeah, unless we just fold it up nicely.
Yeah. Don't fasten or tie it back. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, if,
like
if
a
it's
curtain,
flying,
you don't want to like tie it to the pole.
Oh, got it. Don't dip the flag for any person, flag, or vessel. Don't dip the flag and salute. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. And don't use it as a cover or a blankie. These, by the way, are all from the people at Art Van Furniture, who is inviting Chicagoland residents to retire worn American flags today. They're going to give you a new one for free.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
You go to any Art Van store today and bring your old tattered flag, and they will dispose of them, and they'll give you a brand new flag. So nice job by them. It's good job, Art Van.
There you go.
You have a flag thought?
I do. When I was in grade school, I went to a Catholic school, kindergarten through eighth grade, and one of the coveted jobs once you were in seventh and eighth grade was putting the flag out and taking the flag down every morning on the pole.
Yeah.
And I used to hope that I would get paired up with a boy that I liked, because then you got to be out there for, you know, 10 minutes.
So you were turning in it to a Tinder for flags.
I was, yeah. Yes. So it was. So I enjoyed the flag.
Yeah.
At my Tinder school, the Boy Scouts had to do that.
Oh, we didn't have any Boy Scouts.
Oh, yeah, we didn't either. We just all got to take turns.
We had plenty.
But I learned how to fold. You know, you had to go through the
Oh, you got the
folding.
Proper flag folding.
Yeah, because when you take it down, you know, it can't. And it, yeah. Like, if it was a really windy day, it was really stressful. If you were like, I hope this thing doesn't hit the ground, because, yeah. You know, we were told we were basically going to burn.
My dad was a World War II vet, and when he passed away, and my brother doesn't, he'll remember this, our grandmother was about 114 at that point, and beautiful sunny day on this country cemetery, and it was, you know, military honors for the burial, mm-hmm. And they're silently folding the flag. You could hear a pin drop for miles until Granny, as we called her, said,
oh, no. Aren't that nice the way they're folding the flag?
Isn't it cool? They did it for my dad's funeral.
Like thunder.
They did it for my dad's funeral as well.
Was Granny there too?
No, she wasn't there, but it was beautiful how they fold the flag.
Yeah.
Steve, you mentioned your brother, Mickey. Mickey mm-hmm. gave us a great photo this morning that I posted on the WGN Radio and the Steve Cochran Facebook pages. Of
what photo?
Mickey. It's you guys when you're little.
Oh, that was our first album cover.
You're dressed very in dapper clothing.
Suit and ties,
and,
yeah.
Yeah. And I did
back
label
back,
which one
side
is.
Side to side.
I labeled which one is you. However, every person would be able to figure out which yes. one is you. So.
The guy with the giant so head is Steve.
And the big grin.
That's right. Right out of the time, I was at the local country doctor, and they were going, the boy's got a large head. We probably should look into
the
it.
Country doctor.
It is 7:19. Back to Mary for a traffic update. But first, the I-80 flag question I had for you. You know who was flying that flag?
There's a car dealership right next door, but who actually flies the flag? It's Berlin's House of Tools on New Lenox Road. Yeah. So it's right between New Lenox and Joliet. Incidentally, it is one of the largest highway traversing flags in the United States. It's 30 by 66 feet. And it boasts stars that are a foot in diameter. And they fly it to honor one of Will County's fallen stars, a young man who was killed by a sniper bullet in Baghdad in 2007. So they call it the Sean Pankey flag.
Oh, good.
He's a 25-year-old Manhattan man who, again, was shot in Afghanistan. So that's Berlin's House of Tools.
Yeah, it's Country Club Hills area.
And the good news is you're stuck in that I-80, 94 traffic mess all the time.
Right.
On a windy day, that'll make you feel good. You go, it's okay, take your time.
It's actually right on the border of New Lenox, Joliet.
Okay.
So that is where it is, yeah.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and bees. I need
one. 725, Texter says, the opening House of Cards sequence with the upside-down flag signifies the government or administration in distress. Same thing. It's a distress signal.
Yeah, no, I know. I know what it means. I just don't like seeing it.
No, I understand that.
Yeah.
You will update us on the congressional, it's not a congressional shooting. It's a member of Congress who was shot, to be specific.
He and his aide. Exactly.
At a softball practice, apparently, at a park in D.C. before work this morning.
Yep.
Couple of cops as well, and the gunman. So hopefully more details in the next 5 minutes.
Full update too, and they actually took refuge at another congressman's house, and we'll have some comments from him too.
All right, let's go to our friend Jordan Goodman standing by. That's why we're talking money, singing money, dancing money. Good morning, Jordan.
Good morning, Steve. Great to be with you. Happy Flag Day.
And happy Flag Day to you, my friend. All right, so let's talk about the economy, where we stand right now. Trump bubble continues.
Certainly the stock market has been on fire here for quite a while. Today, the Federal Reserve meets, And I think very likely is going to raise interest rates for the second time this year. They did it back in March. They did it back in December. Everybody thinks they're going to raise rates another quarter point, which would mean what they control is what's called the Fed funds rate, would go from 1 to 1.25, which will immediately translate into the prime rate going from 4 to 4.25. They're probably going to raise rates at least once, if not twice more, this year as well. So that means that what you pay on credit cards and student loans and small business loans and car loans, everything tied to the prime, is probably going to go up a quarter point today. So that's good for the banks. The banks are very happy about this. But the average consumer out there is not going to see anything higher in CDs, money market funds, savings accounts that they're getting paid on. So the banks are raising what they're charging, but not what they're paying.
All right, so let's talk immediate, midterm, and long-term impact.
Well, immediate impact is people are going to pay more. In theory, the Fed's supposed to, by raising rates, slow things down. People want to borrow less if they're going to pay more. We don't need slowing down. We're slow enough as it is here right now. In fact, all the recent numbers, Steve, have been weak. Unemployment numbers were weak. Retail sales, car sales have been slower, even home sales. In various ways, we've got a lot of economic weakness out there. So the Fed is trying to put the brakes on something that's already slowing down. That's kind of the immediate impact. In the long run, I think they want to raise rates even more, dramatically more. I mean, we're at 1% now in the Fed funds. They want to get up to like 2.5% to 3%, which is this is what they call normalization, getting back to so-called normal rates. We've been at these ridiculously low rates since December 2008. So they're kind of getting back to normal is the way they think of it at the Fed. But for the consumers and people in Chicago, they're going to have to pay more in their interest rates starting today.
So who benefits from this in the big picture?
The banks. Bank stocks have gone up dramatically in anticipation of raising rates because they get to charge more. Just to give you one number, Steve, if the Fed raises rates three times this year, which is likely, J.P. Morgan Chase would earn $3 billion more in profit for doing nothing but just
existing.
What the Fed's doing. Just that one company alone.
Just for being open.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's a pretty good day. All right, so that's where the markets stand. We've had a lot of talk about how wages remain stagnated, and
in some areas there's a shortage of workers. I mean, you can't find people, right? So wages go up where there's more demand. Or if you're a computer scientist, you know there's going to be a lot of demand.
You mean like me?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I hear you're a data scientist, actually.
A lot of things. I'm a Nobel Prize-winning chemist, physicist. You know all those
things.
There's
a lot of demand for that.
I'm a rocket scientist. All right, so what industry should we be in?
Clearly, the leaders have been the technology companies, the big five, Amazon, Netflix, Apple, Google, Facebook. I mean, those are the big guys. If you want the super hottest stock out there, Steve, NVIDIA is a company. NVIDIA is the name of the company. Their symbol, NVDA.
I bought it last time you recommended it.
It's gone up dramatically since then. I don't know. Where did you get, like 120 or something?
I did. At 120, and I believe it is now
it's
at
now 160 or something.
Yeah, well, I think at 157 or something.
Whatever, something like that. But that was a month ago.
Well, yeah, the point is, thank you.
Well, I'm glad to help.
And what do? They make chips?
What they do is they make chips that go into everything, driverless cars, video game consoles, Internet of Things. I mean, they're in all the right places, and that's like the hot stock of it's volatile moment to moment, but in the long run, I think that's going to be really terrific. So I'm going to make all your listeners rich there. NVDA is a stock I think, if you're willing to go with a short-term fluctuation, it's going to go much higher.
All right, so but not to leave the subject on the table that I threw out. Stagnant wages in too much of the economy. So we still have a Wall Street economy and a real people economy, right?
Exactly. I think you're seeing that. There's a real disconnect because the people on Wall Street are getting very rich right now. And people who are investing, even if you're in index funds. I mean, the S&P is up about 15% so far this year, just the average. And the technology stocks I mentioned are up dramatically more than that. So that's kind of the Wall Street economy. But back at your local bank, they're still paying you zero, pretty much, for CDs and money market funds and savings accounts. And it's going to stay that way. The banks feel under no compunction whatsoever to raise rates. People just sit there like a lump and take it, I guess. You don't have to. There are things you can do to get much higher yields than zero in the bank. I mean, I've mentioned before, what I like are these called commercial mortgage bridge loans, where you can get 6% for 1 year. You can get 9% if you commit for 3 years, and it's very, very safe. A website for that, commercialmortgagebridgeloans.com. They got a phone number, too, 888-518-3113. So there's a place, and this is not something you're going to hear about from the bank. They just say, oh, we have this wonderful CD for 0.001%, you know, put your money there. You're not going to hear about something like that. But you don't have to be a victim. You know, while everybody else is getting rich, you can go along with it.
And there's a relatively low in for this, too, right? $5,000 or something?
Yeah, that's right. So you can get into these things.
I mean, not that $5,000's, you know, everybody's got $5,000 sitting around, but if you got some money to invest, I'm just saying it's not $100,000.
Correct. That's correct. So it really upsets me that the banks can get away with this, and their stocks going up is great. But the average person who's dry, you know, they say save. That's nice. So you have it sitting there earning nothing. That's not a particularly good incentive to save when you earn nothing on it. And meanwhile, people are going into huge debts, particularly for college. And we've had all these graduations now that have just finished. And we're adding about $100 billion in student loan debt of this graduation season loan, which is going to bring us up to about $1.4 trillion in student loan debt. The average student, about $38,000 in student loan debt this year. And it's going to take them 30 years to pay this off. If you have a minimum wage job or even a little bit more than that, it could take you 30 years to pay off the student loans. I really hope you enjoyed that class in Greek history or something.
Yeah, sociology.
You've done it for a long time.
Yeah. All right, so here's what we'll do. We'll come back. We'll give you information on the student loan resource and a credit card resource and a car loan resource, where all your big bubbles are. Jordan knows where the bubbles are. We have whiny staff questions, I'm sure, and if you want to text in an issue or something you'd like me to run by Jordan, we'll do it. Of course, he answers your email. He's nuts like that. So if you'd like to email Jordan Goodman, just go through moneyanswers.com. I mean, that's the best place for all your stuff, right?
I get them all the time and love to help your listeners. Absolutely.
Stand by. More Jordan Goodman on the way and a big story next.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
A couple of financial wizards.
Those Rockefellers.
Get a tray for these two great big important Samoans here.
We'll save them for seed. Toast.
A toast to Mama Dollar and to Papa Dollar. And if you want to keep this old building alone in business, you better have a family real quick.
Talking money with Jordan Goodman on WGN.
The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and bees. I see.
One of the texters, Jordan, just says, have Jordan on every day.
Okay.
So I love you.
I'd be glad to help.
Let's go through the lightning round of some texters here. Why aren't savings rates going up when the Fed raises interest rates? Could you explain to someone like me? According
to the
texter.
Banks have choice. That there's no requirement that they do that. When the prime rate goes up, I wouldn't call it a requirement, but it gives them the excuse to raise rates on what they charge on loans. But they are completely free to charge to pay whatever they want on savings accounts and CDs and so on. And in theory, it's competitive, but they feel if people are just going to leave their money there earning nothing, why pay them more? That's the way they can get away with it. That's the way it works.
And now we have a small community bank person who wants to punch me. What about small community banks, CD specials and money market rates immediately start to go up because we're accountable to our customers and communities? I hate it when we're lumped in with the big banks. At our bank, you talk to somebody, you're concerned about your rate, we'll work with you. Don't put us in the same basket.
Well, that's good. I mean, I hope there is some competition. I hope that rates do go up, and maybe the small community banks will pay a little bit more. What are they going to pay on a CD? 1%? Maybe 1%? I mean, if they're being...
It's tough competition, but it does beat the other guys.
It does beat zero.
Yeah.
By the way, I've been getting some emails from people wanting to know about the bridge loans.
Here's the thing, a question about it, 708. Commercial mortgage bridge loans, are the returns guaranteed or is there actual risk?
I wouldn't use the word guaranteed. That's kind of an FDIC term. But I would say extremely secure because the maximum they lend against the property is 65% of the value of the property. It's a one-year loan. They have very high, strong finances of the borrowers, and they've got a very long-term track record of paying people their interest and getting your money back on time.
So and you invest in this?
I don't use the word guaranteed.
And you invest in this?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I've done this for many, many
sometimes
years.
If Jordan invests in it, Jordan's not known to throw his money away.
Correct.
moneyanswers.com. And again, the number for the commercial bridge loans is?
The phone number is 888-518-3113. And the website, commercialmortgagebridgeloans.com. there's a little video, they explain how the whole thing works. And a lot of your listeners have done that in the past, and hopefully it's helped out a lot of folks.
Let's see. These are all non-related.
I'll take unrelated ones.
Well, non-related as in they're texting about something else. Oh, Dodd-Frank going away. What's your thoughts on that?
Yes. So the House last week passed what's called the Choice Bill, which is a repeal of a lot, not all, but a lot of the Dodd-Frank bill, including defanging the CFPB, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which I think has done a lot of good things, actually, in helping consumers. All kinds of breaking down abuses of payday loans and having credit cards disclose things better. So they basically want to defang that completely. Now, I think Dodd-Frank has gone too far in some cases, and I do think banks have a huge amount of regulation they have to go through in making business loans, and therefore it's hard to do that. And the same is true with mortgages, that it's been really hard to get a mortgage because of all the Dodd-Frank regulation. So, but I don't think you want to get rid of it completely. There was a reason that was put in to avoid the kind of crisis we had in 2008. So, but as usual, they're going to go too far. I don't think the Senate is going to pass it the way the House did, but at least the House did pass this thing, and it's part of the whole process. Steve, I don't know what's going to get through Washington right now with the circus that's going on here. I think it's really hard to get tax reform and infrastructure spending and health care.
Well, especially when you have no confidence in the president holding his job for 4 years.
Yeah. And you know, to get these things through is hard enough as it is with consensus and with some bipartisanship. Right now, there's zero consensus and zero bipartisanship on any of these things. Infrastructure, maybe there's some bipartisanship, but that's like third down the road. I mean, healthcare is the first one, and it's been interesting. The Senate has been doing this thing completely in secret. I mean, normally you have a bill that affects everybody that'd be hearing.
It's one-sixth of the American economy.
None of it's happening.
Jordan, disapproval ratings, Trump ratings now are at 60-plus percent.
Yes.
If that continues to decline, will that affect the market negatively, considering the
administration's Wall Street? Doesn't appear to be, does it?
No, I don't think so. I think the fundamentals, in a certain way, Wall Street is tuning out Washington, Andrea.
That's a good thing.
They really are.
Yeah.
And the fundamentals, I mean, the companies I mentioned, Amazon has went over $1,000 a share. It's just, you know, kind of taken over the entire retail industry.
When will they split?
They'll split at some point, but I think Jeff Bezos likes it to go over 1,000. And so he'll let it go for a while before it splits. But it might split like 10 for 1. So go back to 100, something like that. They've split in the past. But, I mean, the fundamentals of these companies are doing well no matter what circus is going on in Washington, and that's what investors are thinking about.
I want to get to student loans, whiny sure. staff questions, and maybe even car loans if we have time. MoneyAnswers.com is where you get everything Jordan Goodman related, and we recommend that you do.
I need the dollar, 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 that's what I need. Well, I need
Jordan Goodman's with us, MoneyAnswers.com on 720 WGN. I don't want to shortchange these important topics, but in the interest of getting whiny staff questions on the air, let me go through these quickly. If I want to refi a car loan, I can do it?
Absolutely. There's a website which is called MyLoanGen, G-E-N, MyLoanGen.com. You go in there. It's a free website. You put in your existing car loan, what the payment is, how many more months you have to go, that kind of thing. And then
you can save thousands of dollars doing that.
Thousands of dollars. And you go and then you change what the payment you want to be. If you do $400 a month, you go down to $200 a month, whatever it may be, by extending out the maturity. And then you click submit, and you've now refinanced your car loan online instantly.
Now, the student loan bubble is the worst in the country. Is that right?
I would say so. Yeah, we're going to add about $100 billion in this current graduation season. And people just buried under these student loans. Two things you can do. You can consolidate them, if they're a bunch of federal loans, into one at the lowest rate. A website for that, consolidatecollege.com. And you can refinance your student loans, typically in the 2 to 3% range. A website for that is called Credible, C-R-E-D-I-B-L-E. So go to credible.com and then do /moneyanswers. I know it's me that way. You get $200 off your first payment that way. And they have about 5 or 6 different lenders who have different plans, and you do what's best for you to refinance, combine your federal loans and your private loans into one at a lower rate and pay them off quicker.
Also, when you're deciding on college, educate your young child when they're a junior or senior.
Your youngins.
Yeah. Hey, you're going to go to a school that's costing you $25,000 a year and what that's going to look like. And maybe that influences your decision to stay in state at a smaller school that isn't quite, you know.
Or go to a community college for 2 years while you mature.
These days, Mary. Yeah.
Right. I'm always surprised when people are surprised they have to pay these loans back. It's like you signed up to go.
Well, what other decision could a 17-year-old make, you know, that get him in this kind of trouble, signing up for tens of thousands of dollars of student loans?
Yeah.
And again, the average is $38,000. Some people coming out of school with $50,000, $70,000, $100,000 in loans before they get their first job. And these are 30-year loans.
It's just a great way to explain debt. And by the way, when I went to school, Ithaca College, it was $4 a semester.
Have you paid it off?
I paid it off in 6 years.
Okay.
Yeah. Staff questions, Andrea.
Oh, I will turn the floor over to John DeCoss. I know he's been wanting to ask a question.
Microphone.
Oh, sorry. Hi, Jordan. How you doing?
Hi, John.
Quick question. So we're empty nesters. We own a house now. We want to move my mother-in-law in. We want to purchase a second house that fits us better. We don't need the sale of the first house for the down payment on the second one. How do we make that happen? Is it possible to get that house before we sell the one we live in?
You can do that. This is what's called, we talked about bridge loans. That's a residential bridge loan to borrow, you know, temporarily to get the down payment for the second house before you sell the first one. So those do exist. Real estate agents can kind of help you arrange those kind of things.
Okay.
So
but there's not a particular product that would necessarily fall into that category.
You can borrow against your 401k, and it'd be interest-free as long as you repay it within 60 days. I don't know how quickly the whole thing's going to work.
That's not going to happen.
The comedian 401k.
Yeah, the comedian 401k.
Comedian 401k.
Yeah.
Okay, that's my show next Thursday.
He gets the envelope. It's a big Joker face on it.
Oh, good.
Green smoke comes out of it.
Sandberg.
So I like to do when I buy something, front gate or whatever, you know, 18 months, no financing, because why not? I keep my money longer than I need to. After we pay the thing off, you know, before the interest kicks in, should we then close the account or do we leave it open?
If you've been paying on time, it helps your credit to keep it open. If you close an account on which you've had a good payment history, you lose the payment history and it makes your score go down.
Okay.
So if you've been paying it on time, Mary,
we do. Yeah.
Leave it open. You don't have to keep using it, but it's going to hurt your credit
score. I like
to
use it,
Can I ask a question?
Just pay it on
Steve,
time.
What is your question?
How do I become as rich as possible as fast as possible?
NVIDIA.
Yeah, NVIDIA. He's not kidding.
No, all right.
Yeah, invest in NVIDIA. Jordan, again, the student loan, because we got text messages popping as soon as we talked about
it. Okay, so the two things I talked about, consolidatecollege.com. That's the consolidate. That's what's called the Student Loan Help Center. And then the refinancing, where you get down to 2 to 3%, is credible.com/moneyanswers. You get $200 off your first payment. They've got a phone number, too, 855-870-6005.
I am a capitalist like you are. I think if you run a legitimate for-profit business in America and you do it the right way, you ought to be able to get as rich as you want. Colleges in this country are overpriced like I've never seen.
Yep.
And the fact that we have state governments and city governments and federal governments bending over backwards with taxpayer dollars to try to get kids to go in without affecting the price of these schools when you have leverage like tax breaks that they're given to use against them is ridiculous.
It's fueling the whole system.
College prices have to come down.
Well, they're not going to come down. Maybe they'll go up more slowly. That's about the
best. Well, we got to stop it. I mean, we really do.
Yeah. Well, what's happening is the middle-level schools are facing a lot of pressure, the ones that don't have a lot of endowments. The big ones, the Ivies and all those kind of things, they've got, I think I heard this year, Harvard had 6% acceptance rate. So they got tons of people wanting to pay their price. They don't have to worry about it. They've got a big endowment. The bottom-end schools get a lot of federal money, but the middle ones are where you are seeing some pressure. Some tuitions are coming down because a lot of people are saying, do I really need to do this? Do I need to spend $50,000, $60,000 on a Greek philosophy degree or something? And they get out without skills that can be used. It's just crazy. And I get listeners' emails from me all the time. I had one from a WGN listener. He had $130,000 in student loan debt, and he was working at Walmart for $10 an hour.
Yeah, well, that'll take a little while to pay off, won't it?
The rest of his and his grandchildren's life.
It's ridiculous. Really is. Frustrating. Thank you, and the next time you're on, you'll have that fixed, too. It's moneyanswers.com. Thank you, Jordan.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
Back with the news next on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? it's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey,
yeah, la, 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 la.
You know, once you're in the wrong key, you can't catch up.
Yeah, well, kiss me good.
Dean Richards live from Channel 9 on Flag Day. Happy Flag Day.
Thank you.
What are you laughing about?
Thank you.
Happy Flag Day. I'm wishing you a happy Flag Day.
A lot of people don't wish you Flag Day.
Yeah, because, listen, you and I and Dave and certainly she doesn't look it, Mary and John, we all remember when Flag Day mattered. Yep.
I think it still matters. It just,
not like before.
Not like the old days. Used to be on Flag Day, you go down the street and someone's got, you know, the flags on every house.
Flag after flag after, as we were talking about this morning, the neighborhoods. Cool thing, driving down. We haven't seen this since 9/11, where you drive down a neighborhood street and there'd be flag after flag after flag after flag.
It's true.
So, happy Flag Day. And again, the people at Art Van Furniture, I think this is great marketing, but I think it's a really nice thing for them to do. They'll take your old flag and give you a brand new one today. They'll dispose properly of your old flag, and they'll give you a brand new one at any Art Van store. So I think that's a nice thing to plug.
It's very nice.
Yeah.
Happy Flag Day to you, too.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
I was going to stop at Hallmark and get your card, but I couldn't find a Hallmark store.
Hey, we've got some promos done for the new play. For
Millard the Musical.
For Millard the Musical. We'll get to that before we're done today.
All right.
So, yeah, Jake, grab one of those promos that you like, and we'll play that coming up. What's the update on the Cosby trial?
Day three now. Today will be day three. Still no decision from the jury, and experts are saying, you know, the longer deliberations go, the better it looks for Cosby, that there's clearly some question in their mind. It wasn't, an open-and-shut kind of case. This is the sexual assault trial related to a former Temple University employee back in 2004. She says that Cosby drugged her and assaulted her. Cosby's attorneys are saying that the relationship between the two is consensual.
Isn't part of this, though, that she says she's a lesbian, so therefore she had no interest in consenting to sex with him or any other man?
I haven't heard that angle.
I'm pretty sure that's part of their defense.
Yeah, I haven't heard that. What I've heard is that she was drugged and assaulted. She claims drugged and assaulted. Cosby's camp saying it was consensual. So
at this point, we don't know.
I don't know. But here is what I do know.
Okay.
When Cosby was leaving court last night. Now, this is a pretty serious deal. He could go to jail for 30 years.
Yeah.
With all of this.
Life sentence, obviously, at his age.
If he's found guilty. Pretty serious. We have some audio of Bill Cosby leaving the courtroom last night. Listen to this. Is that
Cheated Fat Albert?
Is that something you want to do when you're leaving the courtroom?
That's unnecessary.
Now, here's why he did it, apparently. Fans of his are outside the courtroom cheering him on. And fans are doing the hey, hey, hey.
Oh, well, then it's fine.
To him. So so he's responding. He's responding to the fans who are doing hey, hey, hey. But hey, 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 you could go to jail for
you
30
would
years.
I think the gravity of the moment would be.
Yeah, I think I would pass on the wacky cartoon voice.
Hey, hey, hey. You remember when Michael Jackson was on trial for sexually abusing a child? And all the people were outside the Santa Monica courtroom, and he jumped on top of a car and started dancing?
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Time and place, people. Yeah. Time and place.
Right. Know the moment.
And I'm going to go to jail for you.
Beat it.
Do you get Jell-O in jail? Is it still Jell-O? Wasn't he the Jell-O guy?
Jell-O pudding.
Okay.
I'll tell you what, when I'm on trial for finally murdering Steve,
yeah,
I'm going to act appropriately when I'm leaving the courtroom.
Well, you say that now.
You're not going to hear me walking out of the courtroom and then suddenly breaking into a song from Millard the Musical.
If you do, though, Dean, can I get the first interview?
I'm going to do the straight.
That's a good point. Andre would like an exclusive sit-down after
you
murder me.
Maybe. We'll see. It's going to depend on if Megyn Kelly's available.
Right.
Wow.
I'll just interview Putin then, Dean.
That's fine.
Fidel.
Mickey Dolenz was on with you. You were nice enough to bring him on with us in the CLTV hour, the 9 o'clock hour. By the way, I say nice enough now because I'm afraid Dean's going to kill me in my sleep. But I'm watching a video. You know, we have these monitors on the studio, and I'm watching a video of you guys, and it looked like you had an entire chorus come in with Mickey yesterday.
We're having a nice conversation with Mickey about his concerts at the City Winery last night and also tonight, by the way. Pleasant conversation, you know, about the Monkey Days and, you know, all that. And we had a guest later in the show, a gospel choir called the Soul Children of Chicago. And we thought, wouldn't it be fun if we just surprised Mickey at the end of the interview with probably about 50-piece gospel choir. Wouldn't it be funny if we just walked him into the studio singing I'm a Believer? So this is what happened when the Soul Children walked in as Mickey was talking about his latest album.
And it was top 20 50 years after we came on television.
The
equivalent
would
have been in 1966, an act having a top 20 album from 1916, like Al Jolson or Enrico.
Whoa! The Soul Children of Chicago, it is. Salute you.
I can leave her if I try.
He starts singing with them.
Yes,
that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a believer.
Yeah.
I'm in love. Ooh, I'm a believer. I couldn't leave her if I tried.
And he got a little black.
How about that?
Yeah, he got a little black there at the end.
How about that?
Yeah.
How about that? Mickey Dolenz and the Soul Children of Chicago.
Yeah. How long did it take Jeff Hoover to get in the middle of the shot?
He actually did not get in the shot at all. Our producer, Jeff Hoover, whose idea this was to do this, by the way.
That's a great idea.
Give credit where credit is due. This was his idea.
Saw Hoover in the middle of a Sapelsa story in the 9 o'clock news last night. I said, get some sleep. All right, so let's take a break, come back. We got traffic and then several other stories to get to. Lin-Manuel Miranda to perform in Hamilton in Chicago?
Maybe.
If
he doesn't get sidelined to Millard the Musical first.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor.
Back to Dean at Channel 9. What's the story of this YouTube kid?
There is a kid named Austin Jones. Mean anything to you at all?
It really doesn't.
Me either. Till I heard about this horrible story yesterday. He's a very popular singer on YouTube. He's got like 500,000 subscribers on his YouTube channel. Yesterday.
And apparently enough to be a professional where he's out doing shows and getting paid for it.
No, I guess not. I mean, he is out doing shows.
That's what I mean. Yeah, because he was just coming off a tour, I think, right?
Yeah, but this is like a kid who, instead of coming up the normal channels, you know, this is the way that it's done often now.
Yep,
you become super popular on YouTube and you launch your career that way. As apparently he has. Yesterday, he's from West Suburban Bloomingdale, by the way. Scheduled to appear in federal court today on child pornography charges. He was arrested at O'Hare yesterday. Prosecutors are saying that he used social media to ask two underage girls to make sexually explicit videos and to send those videos to him.
And he's 25?
24 years old. 24 years old.
Yeah, that's a lot of trouble.
According to one of the court documents, at one point, he said to the girls, I seriously shouldn't be talking to you. That implies that he knew good and well that he shouldn't be doing whatever it was that he is charged with doing.
Is he on Anthony Weiner's computer at that point?
I don't know whose computer he was on. But, you know, tell your kids to be careful.
Bad story.
They're on the YouTube and all that. That's why if I had kids, they would have zero technology.
Your kids would be Amish, no electricity.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah.
Be playing jacks and whatever that game is called where you have a ball on a string and you try to get it in the cup. You know, you like throw it and try to catch it in the cup. That would be high tech in my house.
I talk to people all the time and go, what do you say to your kids? Because they know more about tech than we do and they're going to do this and they're going to do that. Assuming you have some measure of trust with your kids. I think the one message that you have to get through to your kids is this. The Internet's forever. And that picture that you send out today is never, ever, ever going away. So be very, very careful what you share with other people, no matter how hot your hormones are running or how you feel about that individual today.
Yeah, and bottom line, you know, teach your kids properly, and it won't matter, you know, what numbskull is saying somebody on social
media. Oh, yeah, well, I'm not even talking about a crime. I'm just talking about, you know, I'm going to sext, you know, a friend of mine or whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm still trying to find somebody who'll take my picture.
Yep.
Bob Dylan stole something?
So, you know, he's considered one of the greatest songwriters of all time, right? Mm-hmm. He last week gave his Nobel Prize acceptance speech.
Finally!
Yeah.
Wow!
Yeah, well, you know, part of it, you know, you get $900,000. You're supposed to show up
right
for the ceremony, which he
did. Did you just send the money?
I just won $900,000. He, sorry, I had a chili last night.
Yeah.
He didn't show up for the ceremony, which they said was okay, but they said you have to show up and give a lecture in order to get the money. So in his speech, he was discussing the influence of the novel Moby Dick on his life. Because who hasn't really had Moby Dick?
I remember Hanson, the band, had talked a lot about Moby Dick as well.
You always say call me Ahab.
Who doesn't? Yeah, life is just a big whale, as we all know.
Herman Melville, huge part of my life.
Yeah. So turns out an online magazine called Slate was checking it out, trying to find the references that he was making. Turns out that the references that he were making are not actually in the novel Moby Dick, but in something called Spark Notes, which is an online version of Cliff Notes.
Yeah.
So they're claiming that he plagiarized segments of the Moby Dick Cliff Notes to use in his acceptance speech.
I'm trying to generate enough care.
I relate to this greatly because now knowing that Bob Dylan stole stuff from Cliff Notes and copied it verbatim
right
into something, I feel much better about every single term paper that I ever wrote.
Sure, but I'm thinking it took him a year just to get him to go, and he finally goes to pick up his check.
And I'm telling you, if I had a hammer right now.
Dave, hey, could you punch him? You're closer.
Hey, the answer is blowing in a big old whale.
I didn't steal nothing. No. Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Okay, so now this is an interesting story. You know, the original creator, the original star of Hamilton, they won every Tony Award. They won every single award that there is. Last January, Lin-Manuel Miranda said when Puerto Rican nationalist Oscar Lopez Rivera was released from prison. President Obama commuted his sentence because he was involved in some bombings around
right
America.
Very, very, very divisive topic amongst people from there.
Yes, from Puerto Rico, exactly. Yes. But when he was released from prison, Lin-Manuel Miranda said he would be honored to perform in Hamilton for him later on this year. Lopez Rivera lives here in Chicago, so it was just assumed that if that ever happened, Lin-Manuel Miranda would put his Hamilton suit back on and perform it for him here in Chicago. Yesterday, in an interview, Rivera said that he is going to go be seeing Hamilton the last week of August. So now the question is Lin-Manuel Miranda going to be doing this during the last week of August?
Well, didn't he commit to it verbally himself? I feel like he did. I feel
Lin-Manuel,
like I saw that. Yeah.
He has, but they're not confirming any dates.
Well, okay.
We've contacted the Hamilton people, the Miranda people, all the people that need to be contacted. No one is officially confirming this one-time-only performance, because if he's doing Hamilton even just for one night, that's huge news. And the irony of this whole thing, Lopez Rivera, as you say, this is a very divided issue. He was one of the leaders of the Puerto Rican Independence Group, FALN, that was responsible for multiple bombings of buildings all around the United States. Ironically, one of those bombings took place at the corner of Monroe and Dearborn downtown, right next door to the theater where Hamilton is now being performed.
Wow. How about that? I don't know what to do with that information. All right, so you'll let us know, obviously, what day that is so we can get tickets.
As soon as we hear, I'm sure tons of tickets will be available for that. Almost as hard to get a ticket. I don't even know if we have time. Do we have time for a little Millard?
We really don't. We're going to have to play it in a few minutes.
All right.
Yeah, we're going to have to hold it. We're going to play it in a few minutes, but I know you never miss a minute of the show. That's why you look distracted on set sometimes when Larry's talking to you.
What? What'd you say?
Shut up, Larry. I'm listening to Steve. All right, buddy. Thank you. That's Dean. And back with the big story next on 720 WGN.
If only I could have a puppet, I'd call myself so very lucky just to have some company to share a cup of tea with me. I'd take my puppet.
Laurel Marks is the senior development director and been with Canine Companions for almost 10 years. Prior to doing that, Laurel was the associate development director for something called the Buckeye Ranch. There's a long, long career in, you know, we're big on dogs here. I don't know if you know that about this show, but we're big on dogs. And Laura spent over 16 years in nonprofit development. Canine Companions is a national nonprofit that's now been in business 40 years, which is pretty great. And if you have a situation that you are no longer much, I think about this for my mom. This would have been so great for my mom. But, you know, you drop something, you can't pick it up. Or in Dave's case, you want to get a beer and you don't want to get off the couch.
Right.
You know. There's a very important way to accomplish these tasks. And the value of breeding and training and placement and follow-up service for an assistance dog can be as much as $50,000. So we welcome the Canine Companions folks in here, along with a very special guest as well, who knows a lot about this. Sandberg, who's in studio with us?
My sister Katie.
That's right. And Laurel as well. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Nice to see you. And thank you for all the work you've been doing.
Thank you so much.
Sure, of course. All right, Katie, what's your part of this?
Last year, Biscuit was asked to walk in a fashion show.
By the way, explain who Biscuit is.
Biscuit is the world-famous bulldog, mine, my little man. Yes.
My little man.
My man. That's so cute.
And Biscuit, I interrupted you. Biscuit was asked to walk in.
Oh, he was asked to walk in a fashion show last year.
Okay.
And so when we showed up to do his runway, we found out that it wasn't just a fashion show, it was to raise money for Canine Companions.
And so you fell in love with the cause.
Absolutely, yeah. Especially with my career and whatnot.
Sure. And your career is to help the two-legged people.
Yes.
Two-legged people as a therapist and things of that nature.
Yeah.
Dog therapy is like a really big deal.
It is a big deal. Yeah. Biscuit's done it.
I have a friend of mine in San Diego. She's a dog chiropractor.
Yeah.
I didn't even know it existed.
Oh, they make more than I do. For people, for sure.
Right, and the customer service is more fun.
Yeah.
So, Laurel, explain what a Canine Companion does and is.
Sure. Canine Companions dog is a dog that helps individuals, children, adults, and veterans with a disability other than blindness. So they can pick up dropped items other than the reference of the beer. They can pick up dropped items such as keys and deliver them to the individual who potentially could be in a wheelchair.
Well, so throughout the course of the day, there's a million little things that could be important for, right?
Absolutely. And instead of having to wait for somebody to come by to pick up that dropped item, they've got the assistance dog right there by their side to pick up any type of item or open and close doors. And they can even turn on and off light switches.
And you guys brought a Canine Companion in today.
We do. One's in the room.
And what is this lovely lady's name?
This is Nakai, and Nakai is a dog in training with her volunteer puppy raiser. They are with a volunteer puppy raiser for a year and a half,
okay,
and then are returned to one of the six regional training centers across the country for professional training, which is where they learn to do the task-based commands such as picking up dropped items.
How hard is it to give up your buddy after a year and a half?
So they our volunteers do this, but they also then get a puppy right before they're getting ready to turn in the dog so that they go home to a new puppy to train. And some of our puppy raisers have raised 25 or more dogs for us.
All
We've
right,
been around for, as you mentioned, 41 years.
That's a long time, yeah, and obviously with a lot of success.
This dog is so cute, sound asleep. I'm just curious, whenever
it's
you see...
It's the only other thing you can do other than be in show business is sleep at work.
I love it.
And Nakai's on a job right now, but
dozing. Absolutely love it.
Yeah.
When you see a dog like this, I think the natural instinct is, can I pet him or her? Can I go up? What's kind of the general
rule? Yeah, what's the protocol?
Sure, the protocol is always, with any dog, but especially with an assistance dog, is to ask the individual if it's okay to pet, and usually they can say no and don't be offended because the dog is working. Oftentimes they'll put the dog in a different command such as a sit or ask you to offer a command such as shake so that the dog is working. If they put the attention to the individual that wants to pet them, then they're not going to pay attention to the person they're placed with.
Now, you mentioned service dogs. That's the term I would have used. Is that different than this?
So there's four types of dogs that we place, and service dog is one type of placement. Okay. So we reference dogs as assistance dogs because that covers all four types of placements, which is a skilled companion team with usually a youth recipient, a hearing dog, which helps people with hard of hearing or deaf, and then a facility dog, which might be where Katie works, where they are helping with some type of therapy work, but they're still a certified assistance dog.
Well, how does it work with you? Like, what would a dog be doing in with you and your people?
So the kind of therapy I do, there's nothing really except, I guess, licking them when I'm caught inflicting pain.
Well, that would be an important thing, too.
Yeah.
That would be a comfort dog.
I just think it makes life, like, happier. So work would be happier if they were there. But
well, it's a nice thing.
Yeah.
I read in the notes that one of the tasks that you teach is carrying a bag of groceries.
Actually, for one of our recipients, they can carry the groceries, and then they can actually deliver them into the refrigerator or, as someone else mentioned, deliver something else from
how
the refrigerator.
Is that? Bring the groceries in and put them away.
Yeah, how cool.
They also do, they can take put the laundry in and take the laundry out. For some of our recipients, they
can they fold?
probably not very neatly.
Probably how I would fold.
How old are the dogs when the training starts?
So they're born in Santa Rosa, California, and they start the
What do you mean, they all are?
Farm. Yep. And that's where our colony is, and we have 38 years of experience, and so we get the temperament, such as Nakai here in the room, and then they're flown to one of our six regional training centers across the country. The volunteer puppy raisers get them at 8 weeks of age and keep them for a year and a half.
So, Dave, they're bred specifically for this, much in the way that you were bred for Northwestern sports.
Yes. Yes, I was. Yes. So Nakai is a white lab?
She's a cross, and So we have golden retrievers, Labrador retrievers, or a cross between the two. The cross is the most successful placement, then the lab, and then sorry to offend the golden owners out there, but they are a little bit have a low work ethic. So, but we need them. we need them in the program.
But still higher than say a pug or a
yes.
Scotty.
Hey. Yeah, careful on
I'm
the boxer
kidding,
reference.
Kate. No, I'm joking. I love the pug.
But you just know this is the best temperament with the most reward ratio we'll teach you how to do this, and they're smart.
Absolutely.
Well, that's cool. Stick around. We got more to talk about. Let's get to you want to lay down next to the dog, don't you?
No, I actually
Dave
because I don't want
to. Dave likes to sun himself, get in the window, warm his bones.
She is working.
Yes,
I've already found that out.
We could give Dave too. A command.
Yeah, I'm not sure he'll follow it.
Yes. There's probably a better chance Nakai will than I will.
Think that's probably true. Canine companions. We're talking canine companions. So it costs $50,000 to train a dog, and then you provide these dogs for free to those people who are most in need.
Absolutely. So that is the reputation. We are one of the oldest and largest assistance dog organizations in the country, and it is our privilege to provide these dogs free of charge to the recipients who are children, adults, and veterans with a disability.
As we said, the training is so much done by the volunteers. That's one good way to get involved. How else can people get involved?
Absolutely. We have an event here coming up in September, Hout Dog Chicago.
H-A-U-T-E.
That's correct.
Right.
And people can come to attend and support Canine Companions by attending that event here locally. We also have an event in St. Charles, Dog Fest Walk and Roll, to support that. We would love people to become volunteer puppy raisers for us as well.
How do you know if you have a good volunteer puppy raiser? I mean, I'm sure there's some screening process, right?
There's a little bit of a screening process, but there's individuals that have never had dogs in their life that come to volunteer and raise puppies for us, and we provide an extensive manual and support from our staff and our instructors.
What type of time commitment are we talking about?
It's a year and a half from when they get them at 8 weeks of age till they return them back to Canine Companions.
And during the day, how much time do you need to devote to training as opposed to just being a pal?
A lot of time during the day. We don't necessarily have a time frame commitment to that, but they also do monthly progress reports on how they're doing and where they are in their training process.
So, Katie, you fell in love with these guys. Are you involved now? Are you hooked in?
Well, Biscuit got asked to walk again in the fashion show, so yes, we are.
Okay. And what does Biscuit wear, like a tuxedo?
He wore a bow tie last year and a rugby shirt. Yeah, he was a hit.
You can see from Tales in the City, who outfitted them, and it was wonderful.
Yes.
Did he sign a lot of autographs, too?
He was the most popular one. I mean, wouldn't you say he's on all the mailings, so I think, yeah.
He's on the collateral for the invite this year.
Did you give photography approval on the shot, specifically?
No.
Biscuit did.
Biscuit did,
his agent.
And a bow tie and a rugby shirt, does that combine your two fantasies? A guy in a bow tie and a guy playing rugby? Yeah.
Okay. Perfect, yes.
You can attend a graduation ceremony. You can learn more about the volunteer chapter, the Dogfest Walk and Roll we talked about. But just sniff around, get involved. And obviously, you want to write a check? Great.
Absolutely. And we have over 100 volunteers here in the Chicagoland area. They have a very strong chapter. And you can go to our website and find there's a link to volunteers to find out how to get engaged with volunteers here locally. We could not do it without our volunteers.
Hot Dog Chicago, H-A-U-T-E, at the Peninsula.
Mm. Nice.
Best hotel in the world.
It's super fun. It's a super fun event. Even if you don't, like Mary said, I don't do dogs, but you don't have to do dogs to go and enjoy it. And obviously for an amazing cause.
So you've met your sister.
Yeah.
Hi to Susan Ellison and everybody over at the Peninsula, because they're great.
Absolutely. And I do want to mention that we've talked a lot about dogs here in the room today.
Yeah.
We have one in the room, but we're a human services organization that helps individuals with disabilities, and that's important to remember.
Oh, that's the key. Yeah. Sure, that's what it's about.
And ask before you pet.
There's your dog etiquette. Can CLTV get a shot of our buddy here before we run out of time?
Let's see.
I don't know where she is in relation to where the cameras are. If you can get over by Dave or get with Andrea.
That's a good spot. Have her stand up.
Yeah, if she ever stand up right there, you can probably see her. Yeah. There you go. And, there it is. Great pooch right there.
Dog.
And that's a good-looking animal right there. No doubt about it. Well, nice to have you both here.
Thank you for the opportunity.
And here's something I didn't think I'd ever say. My best to Biscuit.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will tell him, yes.
Absolutely.
Maybe we should have him here.
Absolutely, yeah. Anytime. You can keep up the great work.
Thank you very
much
for the
website?
The website is www.cci.org.
CCI.
Canine Companions for Independence.
Got it.
.org.
Got it. All right, thank you again. Back with the news next on 720 WGN and CLTV.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Did you see that?
Miracle, eh? Nice shot, Bishop. Must have made a deal with the devil.
Yeah, I could break the club record, theoretically.
You better come in until this blows over.
Well, what do you think, Tom?
I keep playing. I don't think the heavy stuff's going to come down for quite a while.
From that Shakespearean classic, Caddyshack, which I think we can all agree, we'll all watch, whether it's 2 minutes, 5 minutes, or the entire movie. Yeah, you can make that list. Movies you will watch. You know, you could be leaving a house, and you're turning off the TV, and you're scrolling, and you see Caddyshack's on. You're going to be late. What?
Schindler's List, too.
No.
Oh,
no.
Too
well, that's when you commit to all of that.
Jaws.
Well, Jaws is hilarious.
Shawshank. Doesn't everybody say I got Shawshank?
Shawshank, yep.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally. I think you guys missed the point of the story, to be honest with you. It's 9:17. We're live on CLTV and on 720 WGN. The other voice you just heard is Kevin Paul. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, guys. Good to see you.
How are you, man?
I'm great.
Nice to see you. Kevin used to be on this show, and then Roe gave him like a dollar extra, and he quit. And he does sports every afternoon for Roe now. Does that work? How's that terrible decision working out for you?
It's going well, but of course I miss you guys. We're having fun in the afternoon.
He doesn't.
I do miss you guys. Not a lie.
Every time I see him, he gives me a big hug. So a kiss, like he does you guys.
Well, he's a show business suck up.
You're not on the show anymore?
No, not for like a year now, John.
Yeah, a year and a half.
That's Mike back there in the producer booth, not Kevin, Paul. Yeah. That's Jacobson.
Okay, stand corrected.
But the Roe show sounds great, and nice job by you on it.
Thanks. We're having a good time.
And CLTV every afternoon at 3 o'clock for Roe and Anna and you and Judy and Zippity Bang Bang, your traffic girl.
Zippity Bang Bang, Zippity Doo Dah, Zippity Yay Yay, whatever you want to call it.
Violetta. We like Violetta.
We get it, yeah.
We kid because we love.
Yes.
At 9:18, I was thinking about Father's Day gifts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and trying to help people out. And of course, I love golf. So we had on, Bob Bernardi.
Yes.
With the famous Bernardi putters. Kevin. What about teaching you how to play?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yep.
So I decided to get the best teacher in the game, and that's Emil Esposito. My friend Emil joins us now. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning, buddy.
How are you?
Good to hear you. I'm okay. I'm getting a little older, but, you know, it's just, I'm not hitting the ball as far, but it's fun.
Let me tell you something. Emil is, can I say how old you are?
Yeah, I'm 79 years old, and yeah. I just celebrated last August 50 years as a golf professional, so wow. It's great.
And still the best teacher of the game, and still, now, there's days where he's not focused, and I have to give him a hard time, but he is automatic with the driver. Bang, 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 down every single fairway.
Yep. Right down the middle.
Now, we tell this story every time you and I talk on the air, but there was once an effort to try to teach Bob Collins and Orion Samuelson how to golf because there was a WGN trip coming up where they were going to Hawaii. And they ended up playing a golf course. I can't think of the name of it. It's but it doesn't matter. Kanapali, maybe.
Right.
But they literally had to have the beverage cart girl go back to the pro shop for extra balls because they ran out.
They ran out of 6 dozen golf balls. Would you believe that?
Right. And they were, and this is no secret, and Orion knows this, they were the worst students you've ever taught. Is that right?
Definitely so.
Emil, was that the game where you stood in the right in front of the tee box and said, just try and hit me?
And I'm telling you, and it was about... And it was like 10 yards. That's it. I could catch that ball. I think they shot like 151 and 153.
They counted all their shots. They counted all their shots. All of them.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Orion told me that they went through 6,000 golf balls.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And every group on the course, including people that weren't playing that day, passed them during that round.
You know, and then one day, Orion, we did that little commercial. He says, you know, you really screwed me up, Emil. And I said, well, you know, if you would have paid for your lessons, you would have gotten
You would have gotten a good lesson.
Emil said, find another hobby.
Yeah. Well, here's the big secret, right? Gloria, Orion Samuelson's wife, is a good player, mm-hmm. and she loves golf.
She's a great golfer, and she's an excellent putter.
And she was telling us she was mad at Emil because for years, Orion's been using this excuse that it's Emil's fault that he doesn't play. Well, in fact, Orion likes to be home making steaks,
yep.
doing the stuff he wants to do. He doesn't like right. the game the right. way Gloria does. So he's been. So you've been. And I'm sure it's not the first time. Emil, the great teacher, Emil's been used as an excuse. But it's not your fault. Orion's not playing. Orion's a big man. He can make his own decisions.
That's right, and he should come back and take a few more lessons.
Yeah, because you could get him going. Really could. You can teach anybody. All right, so before we do our own U.S. Open picks, who do you like this weekend?
I'm going to pick Jason Day. I think he's just laying back in the weeds. But you know what, Steve? It's so hard to pick people now. I mean, every time you watch a tournament at the end of the week, it's a new kid that's winning. I mean, there's no one dominating anymore other than Dustin Johnson was playing well. And those would be my two picks. But I think Jason Day.
What are we hearing about Dustin Johnson's back? Is his back okay?
Evidently, he had that mishap at Augusta, and they treated him pretty well. They got so much medicine now that they cure these guys pretty fast. But, you know, with this new swing that they're working on, you know, trying to trap the ball and stuff like that, working their shoulders back and through, a lot of guys are having problems with their backs. Now Rory's having some problems with their backs. If you watch the players now, I mean, their shoulders are turning so much that it's affecting the spine. So I don't think any of these young guys that are playing now will ever play the senior tour.
Because their bodies would be wrecked by then, which at least in part explains Tiger. You know, when you teach the game, you have to teach every different skill level. And we would just advise you, because we're talking about Father's Day here, if you want to enjoy the game more, there's a direct link to playing it better. The better you play, the more fun you're going to have. Kevin, you know this. Emil straightened a couple things out with you.
Oh, yeah. Certainly not playing as well as I was back when Emil was giving me lessons. But he completely turned my game around and showed me things that I never knew about the golf swing. Yeah. I'm better for it.
And Andre, you're talking about going out for a tune-up.
Oh, I definitely need a tune-up, Emil. He gave me this. Remember the reverse? Was it the reverse grip? Remember you said just shift your hands a little bit?
It's weaken your grip.
Weaken it. Yeah. Right down the fairway.
Yeah, exactly.
And now I need help.
you want to really keep it, you really want to keep it simple, and that's me. I try to teach everybody like they're taught 10 years old, that they understand it so well that when they hit bad shots, they're able to get out of it. That's the key. And a lot of people, you know, like with a lot of the instructions that you see on Golf Channel, all that stuff, I tell you what, it's good for my business. It's like perfect.
Well, yeah, because everybody's got 9,000 tips in their head. Now, Dave, you have great connections at Northwestern, and the head golf coach at Northwestern I know has worked with you in the past, but it may be time for a second opinion.
Yeah, I've never gotten a lesson from Ebel. I think I need one. I think it's time. I need more than a tune-up.
Just do a group outing.
How about that?
You can do a group lesson, and then we'll go play.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Whoever Emil thinks should go play.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
I'm available any day, Emil.
Let's do it.
Anytime you want to come out. And you know what? Let me tell you something. Pat Goss is a great teacher also. Pat was coach of the Northwestern, and, you know, he's got a great reputation. He's a great person, too.
Yeah, and Northwestern's got a nice partnership with the Glenn Club and the Kemper folks, and Luke Donald, I think, wrote a nice check to put that practice facility in at the end of the driving range. And that's where we usually end up playing, at the beautiful Glen Club. And I look forward to seeing you now that you're back from Vegas, because I haven't seen you all season. But in the meantime, if somebody wants to buy their dad a lesson with a great Emil Esposito, how do they do that?
They can either give me a call on my cell, 847-764-4653, or they can stop at the Glen Club and just get a certificate, tell them it's, you want a lesson by Emil Esposito, and they'll take care of you right there at the Glen Club.
And you'll have fun, too. I'm telling you, you'll have fun, too. You'll listen to Emil. You'll see it on video. But ask Emil a few stories about when he played out on tour. I'm thinking when you played out on tour, if you got injured, there probably wasn't a doctor in a trailer waiting to treat you.
Are you kidding me? We'd pull up like to a place like the Glen Club, and we're playing a tournament. And we first thing we go in a pro shop and say, listen, where's the closest repair shop? I want to get my clubs repaired. I mean, this is the way it is. Now they got the trucks and they make the clubs for you. It's totally different, you know. And the equipment nowadays is so much better than we had. I mean, just to give you a quick story, in 1974 I played in the Western Open at Medina. And the fifth hole at par five, it's like they did the distance check. It was 247. That's what I hit it, and Venturi hit it. There was two guys that hit the ball 300 yards.
Two on George the entire Bear. Tour?
Yeah, George Bear and Mike Suchak. And so now the average driver is like 290. These guys are hitting it.
Right.
And they need to get the ball down. I think that the golf ball is so hot that it's really...
Well, that's the thing. You look at Erin Hills this weekend, it's an 8.5-mile walk. That's how big that golf course is.
I mean, they're making golf courses, Steve. I mean, 8,000 yards, and they're really taking.
It's a little crazy.
I mean, it's crazy. I mean, the guys are hitting like Jason Day. You know, he takes that 2-iron and he's knocking it like 240.
Right.
I was like, oh my God! But you know, that's the new. The guys are in better condition than we were, and the equipment is so much better now. I mean, we never knew what the TrackMan was and the spin rate.
Right. Just see ball, hit ball. 847-764-4653. Buy your dad a lesson with a great Emil Esposito, or stop by the Glen Club, get a certificate, tell him you want a lesson with Emil. Last question from Dave Ennett.
Yeah, just a quick equipment question, Emil, because I play with guys who seemingly every couple of weeks they got a new driver. I mean,
can't imagine who you're talking
about. I don't know
anyone.
No,
like that.
I wasn't going to mention any names, but how often, because the technology is always changing, but how often should you be changing clubs to try to keep up with it?
Well, about every 5 years, I would say something like that. You could do that. But, you know, when we get a good driver, you just want to keep that baby.
Yeah.
But these guys, they're spending $600 for a driver instead of spending maybe $75 for a lesson. It's crazy, you know, because, the equipment is great. Don't get me wrong, but you can't keep changing every year. It's just it doesn't make sense. So
you're saying it's me.
I didn't say it was you.
So you're saying it's me. So get yourself a lesson from Emil Esposito, a putter from Bettinardi, and stop throwing away money on drivers, and you're going to play better and have more fun.
That's it.
All right, buddy, thank you. 847-764-4653. We'll come back. Kev, can you stick around and do your U.S. Open picks with us?
I can make some time for you guys.
All right, we'll do that.
Oh, yeah.
I'll also update you on the condition of Steve Scalise, the congressman.
That's the big story, yeah.
That is the big story, as there was a shooting at a Republican softball practice
They were getting ready for a game tomorrow night, a fundraising game, a charity game. Mm-hmm. I was discussing the idea that maybe they don't have bipartisan softball or baseball because none of them get along. Because if you had, say, a Democrat second baseman and a Republican shortstop or vice versa, ground ball to short, guy keeps it. Just keeps the ball.
Right.
Not going to share with a Democrat. You're not going to flip it. What are you, crazy? Why would I give you the ball?
Shift the players to the right, shift them to the left.
Apparently there is an I in team.
That's exactly right. 928, big story next, 720 WGN. Play Majors Madness, sponsored by the 2017 BMW Championship this golf season. The U.S. Open coming up this week. And you go to WGNradio.com/contest to register. You'll be given a reminder when you can make your picks for the golfers you think will finish first through 10th. After the tournament, the first-place winner gets a pair of tickets to the 2017 BMW Championship at Conway Farms, September 12th through the 17th. You also win a round of golf for four at the beautiful Bolingbrook Golf Club. Register and play Majors Madness, sponsored by BMW Championship at WGNradio.com/contest. I just got a text from Mayor Roger Clare.
Oh, Bolingbrook, yeah.
Saying hi to everybody. So,
hey, Mayor.
And, of course, as I always say on this show, without Mayor Roger Clare, Bolingbrook wouldn't be Bolingbrook. I mean, talk about it all the time. Mm-hmm. So maybe I ought to listen a little longer, Mayor. Sponsored by Bolingbrook Golf Club. That's our picks. That's the whole hour. The whole hour sponsored by Bolingbrook Golf Club. And the mayor. Thank you, Roger.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Stop. 9:45. Kevin Ball's here. Want to talk a little baseball before we do our picks?
I'd love to.
You got two teams that can see 500 from here in what's been a very average season so far. What's your take on the White Sox?
Well, the White Sox are what the White Sox thought they were going to be. The problem right now is that the individual performances aren't really there. Todd Frazier's starting to hit. Jose Quintana hasn't been all that good. Those were two of the biggest assets you had at the trade deadline. David Robertson, a closer, has been solid. So for the White Sox fans, it was more of rooting for individual performances rather than overall team winning. And
this is the year you go to the park to see the other team's guys?
The other team's guys, or in about a month or so when you see guys starting to get the call from AAA. Yoan Moncada probably up mid-July.
Pretty deep farm, right?
Very deep farm, and it's only going to get deeper, especially after this trade deadline. Whether they trade Frazier or Quintana or Robertson or Melky Cabrera, they're going to continue to stockpile talent.
Dave, give me one White Sox player you'd like to see get called up.
Moncada would be the guy. Yoan Moncada is the top prospect. I'm not sure. I guess the kid they signed from Cuba, Luis Robert.
Yep.
He's a ways off still, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's in Class A.
He's actually in the Dominican Summer League right now. He actually homered in his first game with the White Sox organization, so he's off to a pretty good start. I think he's still probably 3 years away. He's only 19 years old, so I don't think they're going to rush him.
Have you seen my impression of a fan at a Dominican Summer League game?
No.
Ah, it's hot!
I can't even imagine.
That's my impression.
To see him bring back Giovanni Soto.
No, would you?
Yeah. He's been hurt.
Cubs 500 or under hurt still?
They're 500 right now. Offense, last night was a different story, but they've been inconsistent. They're relying too much on the home run ball. I think the offense will be just fine. There's too much talent there. Starting pitching's the issue. You've got Kyle Hendricks had a setback with his injury. They're going to acquire another starting pitcher. They're going to trade for someone at the deadline. Just interested to see if they're going to rent or buy. Do they get a guy for the next couple months, or do they go for the large haul and get a guy that's under contract for the next few years and a controllable arm?
And, Dave, you think we should fire Joe Madden?
No, I wouldn't go that far, Steve. But there's one team in that division above 500 right now, and the Brewers, and I don't know too many. And they've been impressive, just like the Twins in the AL Central. Nobody expected these teams to be there, and they are. And give them credit, 100 games in, they're still in first place. But are they going to last?
I think it's the typical expectation for this time of year, a Houston Astros, Colorado Rockies World Series. I think that's the thing that everybody is.
One saw coming.
Makes sense.
Rockies are playing really well.
Rockies are playing very well.
You know what that is? That's the weed.
That's the
legalized weed.
That's how they roll out there.
I do think a couple of things that are encouraging.
We only have time for one.
Okay, never mind.
No, we have one. We don't have time for two. You said a couple things. We have
the
time
last
for one.
Few games, Addison Russell starting to swing the bat better. Mm-hmm. Now, what ultimately is going to happen with this investigation into the domestic abuse allegation? Right.
But at least an ugly divorce.
Yeah, but at least for now, he was mired in a bad slump, and he's starting to swing the bat.
Well, and the Cubs are finally doing what we've all been calling for the past 3-4 years, and that's put Anthony Rizzo in the leadoff spot. Finally, and it worked out for them.
It always worked out for me in Little League.
Yeah, right.
No doubt about it. And Wiffle. I always let off.
You were a lethal leadoff man.
Mostly for my speed.
Led the league in stolen bases.
Sure, yeah. Sure.
You know, you remember my 23andMe report? Sprinter body type.
Yeah.
All right, you get three picks. U.S. Open, you get three picks.
I thought it was four.
Three picks. It's never been four.
It's always been four.
It's always been three. You get three picks.
Three and a score.
Three and a score. Mary, what was it I owed you a trophy for?
Nothing.
Yeah, what did I win recently?
Didn't you win the regular season of football and you won the playoffs or something?
Anyway,
the point is, Mary, you go first.
Where's my trophy? Okay.
Yeah, you go first. Three picks, Mary. Who you got?
Dustin Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
John Rahm.
Rahm.
Like Rahm Emanuel. Okay, John Rahm and Adam Scott.
And Adam
are those okay?
Scott.
Mm-hmm.
And can I get a score, Mayor?
Gosh, is this... Oh, boy.
Seven under, three under.
Oh, that... Okay.
26 under.
20, no.
Go 26 under, Mayor.
Five under. Thank you.
Five under. All right. Andrea.
I'm going Dustin Johnson, Spieth, and Rory.
Whoa.
Sorry, Mary. DJ, Spieth, Rory...
Mm-hmm. So we call that chalk. You're going chalk. You're going with the names people know.
Yeah, because I was going to go Justin Rose. I usually do. He worked out well for me last time when I won the Masters.
right, sure. No, listen, we're all with you.
Did I win the Masters? Came in second?
No, you didn't.
Minus seven.
Seven. All right.
Seven under.
All right. Special attendance from Kevin in a second, but first, Saber, who you got?
John Rahm. Jason Day, Steve Stricker, hometown boy.
Stricker is 100 years old.
12 under. He hits more balls in the off season in Wisconsin than he does during the regular season when he's actually
I love Steve Stricker.
He's got his wife on his bag.
I love Steve Stricker. I would love him to win. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah. Oh, I like that pick. I'm not happy with it, but I like it. But I think it's a good pick.
All right.
12 under.
All right, cool. 12 under. Dave.
Well, you can't not pick Johnson.
He's going to pick my picks.
What do you mean you can't not pick Johnson? You can not pick Johnson.
Well, you can not
pick him. Go ahead. Watch me. I'm not going to pick Johnson.
His back might hurt.
Okay. Johnson, Justin Rose, Ricky Fowler, 8 under par.
Eight under. With all the bad weather this weekend, what are you, drunk?
10% chance of rain tomorrow, just for starters.
Wow.
Picking Ricky Fowler, too.
Crazy talk.
Can I get Mike Jacobson's pick, please?
Jakey.
I'm going to go with Ricky Fowler, Justin Rose, and a little bit of a sleeper in Billy Horschel.
Oh.
Billy Horschel.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Sounds good.
Kevin Powell.
And I'm going to go 3 under.
Oh, I need
par.
A score.
Oh, sorry, bud.
Three under par.
And just to fill you in, his girlfriend picked Ricky, Adam Scott, Justin Thomas, and she's got 11 under. Because I like when Audrey
Jacobson's
like,
girlfriend?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Am I up?
Yes, okay. Kevin Powell from the Broken Answer.
I'm going to go Ricky Fowler. Sorry to do that. The third selection in a row. I'll go Ricky Fowler. I'll go Jordan Spieth. And I was going to do Stricker, but you stole my thunder. So I will go
Would
with
you like Charles Schwartzel?
Sure, I'll go with Charles Schwartzel.
Charles Schwartzel. By the way, still needs an ES.
And your score, please?
6 under.
Charles Schwartzel.
Wait, is Mickelson definitely not playing?
We don't know yet. Yeah, it's Tom Skilling.
So
dependent.
Nobody should pick him, in other words.
No, I wouldn't pick him.
No.
And as who's left? Me?
You.
Okay.
But go ahead and pick Mickelson.
Yeah, do it.
Is your mom picking this year or no?
Yeah, but she picks off the board.
He hasn't officially withdrawn yet, has he?
No.
She's
the
exceptions open.
You know, they're doing this rotating thing with Eric and Kathy, and she's filling in. It's Eric and my mom this morning.
Your mom loves Phil, too, doesn't she? Or is that Orion?
They were married for a while.
Okay.
Yeah. Is it me?
Yep.
Okay. Jason Duffner, Jason Day, and Paul Casey.
Oh.
Winning score will be, and this is right on. I mean, there's no question about this, 400 per.
Can I make a rule if any of your players fall downstairs or anything, you don't get a repick before tomorrow?
That's a very fair fair statement.
Yeah, well, if somebody is taken hostage prior to 5 a.m. tomorrow when the tournament starts and they get a hold of you,
But I don't see that happening. I know the staff. All right. So we'll post all those picks to the place where we normally post them.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be where?
WGMRadio.com.
There you go. Kev, nice to see you, buddy. When are you on again?
3 to 7 on the
Is that
Rokan
with Rokan?
Show. And Anna DeVlantis.
And yes. Anna DeVlantis. Yeah. We love Anna. We like Ro.
We like them both.
Yeah, we do. Very much.
We do.
And they're doing a great job. Numbers up in the afternoon as well.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks for the support of that. Good to see you, Kev. You know, you're welcome here anytime, as far as you know. It's 9:53. Bill and Wendy still to come.